Jesus looked at them carefully and said, "It's impossible with human beings, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Sisters and brothers, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, friends. See, you thought you were going to be standing for a while, but there we are. I don't know if Abraham was looking out the tent door on purpose, like he was expecting somebody. You know how when you have someone coming to your house, you look out the window. But there he is. He's looking out the window, and he sees these strangers approaching. Now, remember that Abraham was called by God to enter into this place, this plan that God had created, and he called Abraham. His name was Abram at the time. The name got changed a little bit because of the situation being changed for Abraham. He called Abraham when he was in his 70s, right? So some of y'all that go, "Oh, I'm too old for that," you know, just know that Abraham didn't get his marching orders. He didn't get the invitation to go do that until he was in his 70s. So there's a lot here. And of course, he is there at the door, at the gate. He has heard from God before. God called him out of his homeland and into this moving around, this wandering life. And there is this really beautiful moment that he is trying to figure out, why am I here? And he stands with God, and God says, "I want you to look at the stars in the sky." Of course, we have nice lights, but you know, just imagine if you look up at the stars in the sky, not with light pollution like we have to deal with, right? But that kind of span of the Milky Way. And he says, "Look, I'm gonna make your descendants, your offspring, as many as the stars in the sky." That's quite a promise. And Abraham has to make sense of that, and Sarah has to make sense of that too. It's like, what did he say? You know, we're both old here, right? Now, they struggle with this. Have you noticed sometimes when we anticipate something, or we think that something's going to happen, I don't know about you, but I start meddling, right? I start looking for ways to facilitate that and kind of make that happen, even though there is something much greater that is possible. Abraham and Sarah come up with a plan to have a surrogate mother, and a child is born. But that is not what had been intended. That's a really complicated story, and it's a story that involves justice and injustice. We know that God takes care of the mother and child, but man, that's a tough story. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And right now, though, I just want to jump ahead to this moment where the barbecue happens, right? Did you hear the barbecue? Any barbecue fans in here? North Carolina? Kansas City? None of y'all like Kansas barbecue, all right. And there's all of these different kinds of versions of North Carolina. Well, anyway, not to get lost in that. We'll have a poll later about which is the best barbecue. Now, but seriously, there are these strangers that come forward. Abraham sees them and goes, "Welcome, I'm so glad you're here. Please come and receive my hospitality." And boy, did he roll out the dog. He said, "Just sit down. I want to, provide some water for you. You can wash your feet. These are desert people, right? Having a foot washing is a good thing." And so he does that. He runs back into the back, says to Sarah, "Make some cornbread," right? I think he says something more than that, but I'm saying cornbread, all right? you know, make some cornbread. In fact, he says make some really good bread products, right? And so she's back there, oh, there's cinnamon buns, right? And there's cornbread. Not the sweet kind, but the good kind that they make in the South. And I'm sorry. But she starts working through the hospitality of making all this food. And then he goes out and he says, so seriously, it's time for a barbecue. And they secure the animal and they work their way through it. And so he puts in front of these strangers this amazing feast. And it is just wonderful. And these strangers eat and they start inquiring. They start asking, you know, where's Sarah? That was probably a moment where if Abraham was suspecting something was unique about these visitors, then goodness gracious, this is starting to become very real. Where is Sarah? He says, she's out in the back. Now, it's taken a long time for lots of people to make sense of who those three are. The Christian tradition, the Jewish tradition, holds that those three are a manifestation of God. Some will say they're God's messengers, some will say they're God. You know, we Christians will read the Trinity into them, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But definitely, it's the presence of God. That's what I will argue, and that's what lots of Christians will argue. And there they are, they're asking for Sarah, and then they say, you know, we'll come back. We'll come back in about a year's time, and when we come back, there will be a boy. And remember that what I told you about all the stars? Well, that has to start somewhere. So here, in spite of how they have meddled and have messed around in things, here is the explicit promise that you will have a child, and from this child, you know, millions will come, billions will come. Now, in the back, kind of at the door, at the kitchen door of the tent, I don't know how you have a kitchen in a tent, but that's how it worked out, you know? I would like to have a kitchen in my tent. That would be cool. But mine's little, and just you crawl into it and try not to get eaten by bears, okay? But here is this old, beautiful Sarah listening in on the conversation. And as soon as they say, in a year's time, we're going to come back and you'll be holding a baby. You'll be holding a baby boy. Now, Sarah does what? Y'all caught this. You laughed at it when you heard. Sarah laughs. I don't know if it's an out-route guffaw or a snicker or what it is, but it's clear that Sarah laughs. And not only does she kind of laugh at the preposterous nature. I mean, they've already been through this. There's been this promise. There's been great struggle. There's been a sense of defeat in the midst of all this. So much so they go, well, let's do something else. I don't know why I come to the choir and say, let's do something else. No offense. But there is this despair. Now, I will just stop here and say that not every couple who desires to have a child is able to do that. My own personal story is of that, of conception and fertility problems. Our beautiful kids are adopted. Now, so I have to say that this story, for people that are experiencing fertility problems, it's kind of painful. And I just want to acknowledge that. And so if that's your journey here, then please know that you're not alone in that. If I could help you, if we can find ways to talk about this, happy to do that. Now, in this particular case, though, this one particular case, there is a promise with a plan, an intentionality by God to draw a people from Abraham. And when God, I don't know, when I get to heaven, I hope one day, when I get to heaven, there'll be all kinds of questions, right? You might have questions too. Hey, we'll probably have to stand in line, you know, behind each other. Like, did you get your question answered? Well, you know, I hope to get mine. When we get to heaven, there'll be lots of, why? What were you, how did this work? And part of that is still mystery. As much as we try to cast some ideas around that, there's a lot still that we don't fully understand or is hard to accept. But what we have is this one particular plan. So Sarah is leaning in and she hears what they say. She probably snorted. All right. And there's joy almost in that. In the weirdness of that. Now, and so what does she do? She makes kind of a body joke. Okay? We are, it is what it sounds like. Okay? So she says, literally, am I to know pleasure again? It's okay. You can snicker at that. We were all 12 years old at one point, so go ahead and snicker at that. Because if your mind went there, good. That's what it's intended. That's where you were supposed to go with that. She says, is that going to happen? That sounds fun, but now, the strangers, the manifestation of God, hears her. Here's her snickering in the back room. And they said, you're laughing. And what does Sarah do? Sarah does what Sarah does a lot, and Abraham too. She lies. No, I wasn't laughing. That wasn't me. But the reality of the laughter is there. Now, I don't want to tell you that I understand laughter and I understand comedy in its completeness. I love being in the joy of laughter. And that's why I use that so much in my own ministry. My family was funny, you know, so that's how we coped with a lot of things. But the way that humor sometimes works, not all the time. There's sight gags and stuff like that, but sometimes humor works by taking the way things we know, the way it sort of seems to be in a natural way. This is the order of life. These are the things that happen. This is the way it's predictable. To take those things and to turn them completely upside down. In fact, if you look at some of the way that Jesus tells parables, they work like jokes. Well, the kingdom of God, we think, you know, is like this. But let me blow open the doors. That laughter from Sarah is so important that as that baby Isaac is born, he's given the name Isaac. Did you hear what that means? It means laughter. God took what seemed to be my desperate situation. God took what seemed to be our community's desperate situation. God took this brokenness and in God's way blew it open. She says, I'm going to name him Laughter, because everyone who hears this story will laugh with me at how God is much greater than the way things seem to be. Maybe you recognize this, or maybe you're longing for a little bit of joy and laughter. I can't explain or justify, and I don't need to, how God does things. But I would just remind us that this action came as a promise, as a fulfillment of promise, that God promised Abraham that there would be as many children from his line as the stars in the sky. Christians claim to be children of Abraham just as much. That this promise that was there is something that God held to and kept, even as he was telling jokes and blowing things open. So I just want to kind of remind you, just came around today to remind you of one of those promises, and it's from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. God says to God's people, I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope. When you call me and come to and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you search for me, yes, search for me with all of your heart, you will find me. I will be present for you, declares the Lord, and I will end your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have scattered you, and I will bring you home after your long exile, says God. I look at us as a church. I look at us as individuals, as community, and know that there are still things that are in front of us. Times that may feel like exile, times that may feel like isolation and brokenness, and where are you, God? Remember, we talked about that. Nevertheless, in God's own way and in God's time, God says, I got a plan for you. So I came to remind you that in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.